nothing saved us but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let us bow. Our Father God, we come now to you this morning and say thank you. We want to give thanks because you allowed us another opportunity to come out to your house of worship, where we can sit in your presence and we can dine with you and we can sup with you and the Father. While we are here, allow us to bring down our walls so we can receive what you have for us to receive. Give us what we need this day individually so that we can be better because we was here. We ask now these blessings in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. We now have our opening hymn, hymn 127. Thank you. many of us know there's nothing like our Father. I'm trying to figure out if I'm in the right place. If any time there should have been an applause, there should have been an applause then. Because there is no one like our Father. And I'm not speaking about our earthly Father. I'm speaking about our heavenly Father. Amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Our Father, we come to you this morning to say thank you. We want to say thank you for that part of the Trinity that you left here to guide us. Your Spirit, the one that we call the Holy Ghost, you have allowed him to reside with us. So we come this morning to say thank you for him. Not only to say thank you for him, but thanking you for giving us the mind to follow him. We come this morning to say thank you for allowing him to teach us, to guide us, to instruct us, to correct us, to make us better, to show us the way, Master, to shine light in our darkness, Master. We come this morning to say thank you. Because he is such an awesome spirit that even when we needed to be comforted, he comes and comforts us. He gives us peace of mind. He gives us understanding. As a matter of fact, in your word, you said that we don't learn unless the Holy Ghost teach us. So we come this morning to say thank you. We thank you now for all of us who are here under my voice. We are going to follow him until we see you. We will follow him all the way to our last days. We'll follow him till we get before you on that great day. We come this morning to say thank you for being such an awesome God, where you leave us with something that always there to remind us of you. What an awesome God you are. So we say thank you. We lift up our hands. We lift up our voices, Master, because we are so appreciative of all the things that you've done for us. For you design things in such a manner that we are always going to be victorious in all of our trials and our tribulations. We come this morning to say thank you. You're such a good God. You're such a loving God. And it's a shame, Master, that we can't find better words to say than to say thank you. Because you need even more than that from us, because surely you deserve it. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. We ask now that the officers will come for the purpose of our tithing and offering.
You cry.
Our Father God, we come now to say thank you for all which has been given here today. And Master, we pray that we bless you as we lay our hands on these funds, because they are not ours, they are yours. And we pray that everything that we do it to please you. We ask now these blessings in your same, in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Amen.
Right now, this will be a memory God
Let me ask that question again. Anyone in here been through anything? Did the Lord come and take that battle for you where you didn't have to fight and he fought for you? And not only did he fight for you, but he won the victory for you. And when you came out, everybody says that you are blessed because the Lord was with you. Oh, somebody ought to give God some praise in here. Because God is too good to sit down on. He's been too good to us. He's been an awesome God. I'm not going to pump you. I'm not going to prime you. Y'all know how I feel. Amen. Sometimes I just sit in amazement of just how good our God is. This weekend, I was sitting in my yard while I was doing yard work, and I thought about it. And I had to look back over my life. And I said, God, you have brought me so far. From a little boy from a single family home who didn't have clothes of his own, he had to share them with his brother. Yard didn't have grass in it, but we still yet took pride and swept it. Felt like I wasn't much. And here I am sitting in this big, beautiful yard that you provided. With all kind of extravagant cars in my driveway. And I'm not bragging, believe me, I'm not bragging. But when I sit back and think about what he has brought me from, it makes me want to shout. Because I realize, because I'm not dumb enough, I'm a pretty intelligent man, I realize that I didn't do any of these things by myself. And it makes me want to shout. I just started weeping because I realized just how good he had been. Sometimes we need to look back to where we've come from. And where God has brought us through. And I know some of us may have been born with a silver spoon in our mouth, but I wasn't. My spoon was wooden. And I had to share it. But thank God. Y'all don't hear me. I'm already preaching. I ain't got to my sermon yet. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 14. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And I'll read down through that 31st verse. And it says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Amen. Just for a few moments, I would like to deal with the subject, where is your focus? Where is your focus? And if you don't get anything out of this message, please get this. When your storms of life starts raging, learn to quiet the chaos and keep your focus on God. Let me say that again. When the storms of your life starts raging, learn to quiet the chaos and keep your focus on God. My brothers and my sisters, many of you know like I know because we have lived some time. We know that life presents unto us many of challenges. Most of these challenges are sent to us by way of our enemy, to get us to lose our focus on our God. He knows that we have a sight problem. And our sight problem is not that we can't see. Our sight problem is that we can see. Ain't that something? Most of us don't think about that being a problem. But in our life, many times, our sight is our problem. Because our enemy, he knows that we respond to things that are in nature. We respond to the things that we see. Even when we talk about the trials in our life, we respond to those things that are of nature. He knows that we have a sight problem. And it doesn't matter how good God has been to you. Let something pop up in your life. Many times when things pop up out of nowhere, we find ourselves running and start acting like we don't know who God is. Our adversary is aware of who we are. He's aware of what we can see, and he knows that as long as we can see it, we will respond to it. He's a smart adversary. He's not ignorant of who we are. He's very aware of who we are. Even though the Bible teaches us to walk not by sight, but by faith. Many of us don't walk by faith, we walk by sight. In other words, things must make sense to us for us to do anything about it. So if we see factual things in nature, we respond to those factual things. When God tells us, don't be concerned with what you see, be concerned with who your God is. I said something there and I missed some of y'all. Some of y'all didn't hear what I just said. We're so concerned with what we can see, we forget who our God is. How you know that, Reverend? Because I watch you. Just like the enemy watch you. I watch myself. Just like the enemy watches me. Sometimes when things come in our lives, we forget that quick just who our God is. And we start responding to what's around us versus keeping our focus on God.
That's what Peter found himself at fault of. He lost sight of who his God is. In this text, there are three things that I want to bring out to you. The first thing, there's a divine instruction. The second thing, there's a divine miracle. The third thing is the saving grace of God. In verse 22, Jesus instructs his disciples to get into a ship and to go over to the other side without him. I want to tell you today, anytime God gives you instructions, you must understand those instructions come with power. Say what, Reverend? Anytime God tells you to do something, when he tells you to do something, he sends those instructions with power. Because God is a man who cannot lie, nor is he a man who can be wrong. So anytime God instructs you to do something, you got to understand he gives you the power to carry it out. So when God says go over to the other side, they should have never been fearful of being in a storm. In other words, you should never be fearful of being in a storm. When God says that he's with you and he'll never forsake you, anytime storms come up in your life, you ought to be able to just... But what we do, we get on the phone, we cry, we call folks. We get fearful. We start worrying. Our blood pressure goes up. When God says, I'm right there with you, if you just keep your focus on me, there's nothing you can't accomplish. Because my instructions are divine instructions. Listen, y'all, I know we talking, you know, sometimes we say stuff we don't mean. God never says nothing he... Anytime he speaks, he means what he said. You don't have to question him. You know, some people, they're so weird, so fickle, you don't know what they mean when they say stuff to you. But when God talks to you, he means what he says. You don't have to question God. All you need to do is just stand on the word that he gave you. Keep your focus on him. His divine instructions are not limitless when it comes to power. He gives us the supernatural ability to accomplish whatever he instructs us to accomplish. Just because you don't know it don't mean God can't give it to you. Just because you don't have it don't mean God can't give it to you. God can give you whatever he wants to give it and when he wants to give it and how he wants to give it. And then look at this. He'll choose who he wants to give it to you through. Sometimes he'll give it to you through your enemy. The least person you think will help you out, God will take that person and make them make you better. Before you know it, your enemy is blessing you. That's who our God is. So when you're going through life, don't focus on what's outside of you. Focus on him. Don't focus on your education. It can only get you so far. Don't focus on your money. It can only get you so far. But if you focus on Jesus, when the storms of life arise in your life, your risen Savior will get up. Did you hear what I said? When your storms start brewing, when the wind starts blowing and the waves get high, Jesus said, I'll stand there with you. And not only will I stand there with you, I will carry you through your storm. If I have given you instructions, know that my instructions have power. Acts 1 and 8 says this. It says that when Jesus had instructed his disciples, as he was preparing to leave, he says, now you shall have power. In church, we got power as long as we're focusing on Jesus. Don't focus on me. I have no power. And please don't put me before him, because he'll quickly remove me, perhaps from this earth. Because God said, you have no other God before him. That's where a lot of churches go wrong. They make their pastors out to be gods. We are not gods. We're men just like you. Mm-hmm. With a different function. That's it. Amen. But we're men just like you. But God says, you have power. Because the Father left something here as a gift for you. He left the Holy Ghost here to be with you, to lead you, guide you, and sustain you in your time of need. And Peter lost sight of this. Peter started focusing on what was going on around him. The second thing I want to talk about is the divine miracle. In verses 25 through 19, Jesus worked not only the miracle of him walking on water, but he allows Peter to walk on water. According to science, this is impossible. According to man's logic of theory, their tests, their research, this is impossible where something that's solid matter can stand on something that's liquefied and not sink. According to man, that this can't be done. According to man, this is impossible. But according to our God, all things are possible. As long as we keep our focus on him. Don't focus on your children. Don't focus on your job. Don't focus on who you think you are. Focus on Jesus. And everything that you do, make sure that you are pleasing Jesus. Because if you're pleasing him, your focus is on him. Y'all hear me? He not only worked this miracle where he could walk on water, but he allowed Peter to walk on water, which means he gave Peter the ability to operate outside of nature. Now, there's only one force that can operate outside of nature. That's God, which means he gave Peter some of himself. Y'all don't hear me. In other words, when you are going through, God will give you some of himself. And the miraculous thing about this is, when God gives you some of himself, which means he gives you his power, he doesn't lose power. According to science, when energy or power is transferred from a transferer to a transferee, the transferer loses power because it shares its strength with the transferee. But the way God operates is he gives you some of himself, but since he is the source of power, he doesn't lose power. So when he gave Peter some of himself, he didn't start sinking. He still could walk on water. As long as Peter's focused on the source, he could walk on water. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here, because what I'm telling you is God will give you some of himself in your storm, which means he'll be there with you. What an awesome God. Huh? My God will be there with me and share himself with me. And when he shares himself with me, it doesn't weaken him. As a matter of fact, my God can share himself with all of us at the same time. Amen. And still be God. Still have the same power. Still have the same ability. Still have the same strength. Because he is the only true God. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here. My brothers and my sisters, we can't focus on our storms. We can't focus on the chaos that's in our life. We have to focus on God. As a matter of fact, that's why God allows some storms to come in your life, so you can learn how to go through a storm. You can't ever know how to go through if you've never gone in. Let me say that again, because, you know, some of us, you know, in this new modern day, we don't want to go through nothing. We want everything to be easy, especially our new children. Lord, have mercy. I'm trying to hire them, and we're having a hard time because they don't want to work, but they want to get paid. You don't know how to go through a storm if you've never been in a storm. So the process of life for you to grow and become better is you must go through. In other words, you must have to see a storm, and you must have to walk on water in your storm. What you saying, Reverend? When all is falling around you, you still got to stand. When nothing makes sense, you still got to stand. When you can't see your way, you still got to stand. When all is dark, you still got to stand. And if you continue to stand, God will show you the way. Somehow, give God some praise. The final thing, and we're going home, the saving grace of God. God knows who we are. He knows our maturity in him. You know, some of us are still babies, although we've been in church for 50 years. Some of us are still babies. Some of us can't take meat. We have to get milk because our teeth are not strong enough and our body cannot digest the meat. So God gives us milk. But some of us are strong enough to receive meat. We are strong enough to go through some things where we can stand and not be moved. I'm going to share this story, then I'm going to go home, and I'm not going to tell you the person, but I received a phone call by somebody who I love dearly. Received a bad report from the doctors. Something for this person that makes no sense. How do you have something that's contributed by something that you don't do? But you got it. You don't know what stage it is, but it's bad enough where something got to happen. If not, you're going to die. And when God shared with me, tell him, stay focused. And that person spoke back to me and said, I'm standing on the battlefield for the Lord. I know I got to go through this, and I'm going to go through this, and it's not going to bother me because I know I will be victorious. Amen. Some of us got to learn how to stand when stuff don't make no sense. Stand when the enemy is coming from you from all angles and it don't make any sense and you feel like it ought not to be happening because, God, I'm paying my tithes. God, I'm doing what you asked me to do. But yet and still, the storms keep coming. Guess what God wants you to do? He wants you to stand. He wants you to get out that boat and he wants you to walk on water. Because if you walk on that water, he'll give you everything that you need. Somebody ought to give God some praise. Peter lost sight of God because of the storm. But God didn't lose sight of Peter. Amen. Somebody ought to give God some praise right there. Because some of us have stepped away from God, but God has not stepped away from us. Oh, Lord, have mercy. God said, and although you stepped away and you took your focus off me, if you just call my name. Peter said, Master, save me. The Bible said that God reached out with his right hand and grabbed Peter by his hand and asked Peter in a comical way, when did I doubt? God knew that some of us wasn't going to make it. He knew some of us wasn't strong enough, but yet and still, we had to go through. But now since we've gone through, we know how to conquer our storms. Somebody to give God some praise in here, because you are now victorious because you've gone through your storm. And your God did not leave you by yourself. When you needed him the most, he reached down and picked you up out of all of your situation, out of your miry clay, out of your darkness and your confusion. God picked you up and put you back on solid ground to stand. Somebody give God some praise in here. The doors of my Father's house are now open. If there would be one, the time is now. The Bible says, find God while he is near, for surely there shall come a time when God cannot be found. The doors of my Father's house are open. We ask our officer for now come for the purpose of serving communion. While they come, let me ask for the preservation of time that you go ahead and search yourself. Make sure that you don't eat nor drink damnation unto your soul. Make sure that you're in good standings with your God. In other words, make sure you don't have aught or an issue with a brother or a sister. Because God says, how can you say that you love me whom you never seen, but don't love those who you see every day? If you have an aught, please do not drink from this table today. If you have an aught, please do not eat from this table today, because you'll be eating and drinking damnation unto your soul. And it is serious. This is not a plaything. God has anointed this table to be such that the power comes from this table and controls our very lives. Let us bow. Our Father God, we come now asking that as we lay ourselves on the table, we allow you to operate on us spiritually. If there's something in us that you're not pleased with, we ask that you remove it right now so we don't drink nor eat damnation unto our souls. Master, we know that you can do it quickly because you are right now God. You don't have to wait on anything. That's just the type of power you have. So we ask now, Master, that we be in good standings with you, that you search us. Even if that's something that we don't realize is there, we ask that you remove it. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ, holy name, we pray. Let our hearts say amen.
Master, we come now asking that as we prepare to leave this place, that you watch over us, protect us, and keep us until we can return to this place where you have chosen to place your name. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we do now pray. And we ask that every man and woman sings.